He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider and lead Lakers content creator for Offside. And today on the show, we're going to be talking about LeBron and on a few levels. One, he practiced today as was expected. And the news cycle is kind of going as I told you guys it probably would. He is now considered questionable to play in the Lakers game tomorrow night or Tuesday night. Tonight, by the time you guys are listening to this in podcast form. And then with LeBron coming back means the return of the stupid, intellectually dishonest LeBron James takes that tend to follow him. This time it was Shaq. So I'm going to talk not just about Shaq's take or whatever, like he's just said stupid stuff, but more kind of in general, why the Lakers and LeBron have been this like lightning rod for this kind of disingenuousness. So we'll talk about that. And then we'll talk about like actually what LeBron will be bringing to the table, what to look forward to, what the Lakers are looking forward to. I think Austin gave us kind of an interesting quote from practice about LeBron. So I think that gave us a bit of a glimpse into what the Lakers are looking to probably do with Bron, at least in some possessions. And then I'm going to start just basically getting in the habit of doing this. So after I run through those first three topics, I'm going to dive into the comment section, into the chat, and answer questions from there. But again, as I try to say, hit me with the question mark so that I kind of can quickly see it, note it, and then come back to it or look for it so that I'm not sitting here scrolling while you guys are watching me do so. So plenty of stuff to get to in this one. Let's go ahead and dive on in. But first, a quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button if you guys are watching on YouTube. And then obviously the share button too. If you guys are not watching on YouTube right now, the place you can find the show is youtube.com/@LakersLounge. And then if you guys are listening to the show in the morning via podcast, please hit subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts, preferably on Odyssey because I'm a company man. But like I always say, wherever it is that you get them, they all count the same. So without any further ado, let's dive on in, starting with some of the updates and quotes from LeBron's first practice of the season. LeBron, I just think in general, before I get into like the Spectrum literally just posted their the LeBron's interview. So I'm going to go ahead and play producer while I filibuster. But before I even get into that, I thought the South Bay Lakers head coach Raj asked him about, you know, having LeBron in practice and what that was like and all that stuff. Raj, you can kill me if you want, but like he asked us in Slack and in Lounge Slack, he's like, hey, do you think this is an okay thing to ask? And all of us were like, yes, that is actually a great question to ask. But so LeBron or Raj asked the South Bay Lakers head coach about having LeBron in practice, what that was like, the experience for it, what he was hoping his guys would kind of take from it. And I thought it was a really cool and insightful question. I actually have pretty high hopes like for the head coach of the South Bay Lakers. I would, you know, go out and venture to say that with him having the relationship, okay, that was not the interview clips that I was hoping it would be from Spectrum. Our crew discusses the King's return. All right, whatever. Anywho, but yeah, he was asked, you know, he was talking about LeBron and what those guys were hoping to get, or he was hoping those guys would get from it. And he was just basically saying, like, the kinds of habits that LeBron has: showing up first, being the last to leave, being regimented, being, you know, very purposeful in the practice time that he had out there. I thought it was really cool. And it made me kind of like, I know I've kind of joked about it already. Like, just imagine being a G League player, and then all of a sudden LeBron's there on the other side of the scrimmage from you. But really, though, like, when you think about it, for a lot of these guys, like, for me, I guess the equivalent would have been being able to practice with Jordan. Kobe and I think Kobe is not that much older than me, or was not that much older than me. He came into the league, I think, when I was entering high school, which means he was just freshly out of high school, right? So I think Kobe's only about 4 or 5 years older than me. So it wouldn't have been Kobe. It would have been Michael, was kind of the GOAT when I was growing up. And I can only imagine, like, you play basketball your whole life, probably have highlights saved, right, of you know, LeBron playing, and might have a poster, if kids even still have posters up on their walls. I don't think that's a thing anymore. And I'm just like, man, that, just from a very human standpoint, that is a really cool story. And so anyway, like, you know, LeBron actually talked about it at practice, and what that was like, and what benefit he actually got from that experience, right? That it wasn't just, you know, going through workouts on your own while the team is out on their road trip. LeBron was actually able to get some actual practice time in and understand kind of what he's working on. And, you know, the nice thing too is with the South Bay Lakers being as linked to the parent team as they are, JJ Redick could basically just tell his head coach down there, hey, these are the things that we're looking to work on. This is the kind of spots that we're trying to get LeBron into. We need him to focus on X, Y, or Z. And that way, whenever we get back, he is that much more ready to help hit the ground running with us and go kind of from there. And I think that's a really helpful element organizationally that the Lakers have. And, you know, we're at the point now where I think all but maybe one or two teams have a direct G League affiliate. The Lakers got in on that wave relatively early, and I think it's really helped them when they've utilized it properly, rather than basically use the South Bay Lakers or they used to be the Defenders, rather than use them as this like training ground for projects. The Lakers basically use the South Bay Lakers and their two-way spots as extra roster level players, or close to roster level players, right? You have Christian Coloco, who started at times for the Lakers last year. You have Nick Smith Jr., who was an NBA player last year and looks pretty close to the part even still now. And you know, Chris Magnon, I think, is somebody that they're kind of grooming for that kind of a role eventually as well. And I just think that's a really smart way that I think most NBA teams are kind of going there, where the team itself, the G League roster is a place where projects can kind of develop, and whoever kind of rises through those ranks, all the better. Maybe they get a two-way spot eventually, but most teams look at their two-way spots now as, hey, it's a long NBA season. Those 82 games are a mother bleeper. So let's see what we could possibly do here to have some guys ready. And with that being kind of the approach, if you send guys down to your G League affiliate, they get ready that much more quickly. So I thought that was really kind of cool there, from, you know, LeBron talking about it, the head coach talking about it, and all that stuff from that point forward. Now, as far as, you know, LeBron and the Lakers talking about like what he is looking to do and what he's looking forward to here. My favorite quote, well, the funniest quote was LeBron saying, quote, "My lungs feel like a newborn baby. I got to get my lungs back up to a grown man," end quote. I think my kids are probably in better shape than I am. So like, it's funny when a 41-year-old NBA player says like, "I got to get my lungs back up to being a grown man." I kind of wonder if he's like, yeah, you know, maybe to when I was like 37 and maybe not to when I'm like 41. But that was the funniest quote. But, you know, my favorite quote from it was from today. And I thought the most telling quote, again, from Austin, as I said a second ago, quote, "He's the greatest player to ever touch a basketball. So he's going to do what he's going, what he does. Give him a 4-on-3 advantage. And I believe good things will happen," end quote. And like, I think that is kind of in a nutshell what the Lakers are hoping to get from LeBron whenever he steps onto the court. Luka Doncic is the primary creator. He's the engine of the offense. But if you look at it, if you look at the Lakers like some kind of a sailboat, or any kind of a boat, it used to be, and on most teams, your engine also kind of operates as your rudder. But with LeBron being as capable as he is as a primary creator as well, you can really kind of split up those duties. And by that, I don't necessarily mean your turn, my turn stuff, even though that is going to be an aspect of the offense. But what I kind of more mean is that you can get somebody who gets the ball rolling, right? So like remember at when you like start a car, or when you get your car rolling, right? The vast majority of effort that your car or energy that is, you know, utilized is getting your car from 0 to 60. Once it's up at 60, from that point on, even if you're accelerating up to 80 or 85 or whatever, at that point, the energy output is a fraction of what it took to get from 0 to 60. And I kind of feel like the Lakers are really well positioned here because you have Luka Doncic, who can get the ball rolling, get your car up to from 0 to 60. And, you know, maybe that's the initial pick and roll that you run there. And then if he gets blitzed, as Austin is kind of talking about here, now your offense is already up at cruising speed. Well, now you pass the ball to LeBron in the short roll and he's at 85 miles an hour, just like that. And your offense is that much more difficult to deal with. And, you know, we've talked about how I would like to see Austin get a few easier shots. Well, the way that you get Austin a few easier shots is by introducing a creator of the caliber that LeBron James is. And that's not to say that Austin now just goes and stands in the corner. It's that, like, that's another element of this offense that the Lakers get to introduce here. So there is going to be your turn, my turn. There are going to be Luka possessions and LeBron possessions and Austin possessions, and there's going to be Luka stretches and LeBron stretches. I don't think we'll get too many Austin stretches for the most part, but like you'll get also importantly, you'll have LeBron Austin possessions, or it's going to be really interesting to see if we get LeBron Luka possessions. That wasn't something that we were able to watch last year as the Lakers were ramping up to the playoffs, but they did eventually get to arrive now at a place where you aren't in the middle of a sprint to the postseason. You can tinker a little bit, and because the Lakers have done enough winning early on, they can, you know, take their foot off the gas a little bit and not, you know, like there are some actual desperate teams already in the NBA. And those teams wouldn't have the benefit of being able to trying some shit out. the Lakers can. And obviously you don't want it to cost you too many wins or lead to too many losses, but the Lakers can tinker a little bit. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to as well. LeBron also gave a good quote, quote, "I miss these guys, just seeing them go out there and working. I love the work. I love the process of working. Don't miss the travel. I'm about to be 41 years old. I was happy to be at home on my couch after working out." But I honestly see it. Like we've talked about this, where first game of the season, LeBron's just sitting there and he barely even moved. And yeah, like the Lakers were in the middle of a blowout at the hands of the Golden State Warriors. But over the course of the season to this point, you have seen him up on his feet, involved in huddles, involved in conversations with his teammates as they get back to the sideline. And I think he has really kind of seen that, like, damn, like, you know, there's some distance that still needs to be covered here, but I feel like I could probably help cover some of that ground. And that's where I, you know, when he says I miss these guys. And then also he also talked, there was another quote that he gave talking about the, like how he can see the chemistry that these guys already have and how they're there for each other and the sacrifice that some of these guys are making. Like if we notice these things, you're damn sure like you can be damn sure that LeBron has noticed these things too. And I just think for LeBron to be stepping onto a basketball court or stepping into a situation here where when he comes back from an absence, the team that he's returning to isn't in fucking full-fledged forest fire mode. No, he's stepping back into a team that, yeah, does have some issues, does have some shortcomings, but also has some things going for it. That's pretty unique for LeBron at this point of his career. That hasn't been the case with basically any team that he has been on and missed time with. So yeah, I you know, before we get to some of the takes and stuff that follow him and some of the kind of negativity there, today was a really cool day. And I talked about it yesterday on the pod and how it was, it was going to be really cool to see, like, finally hear from LeBron for the first time really since media day. And I didn't think it disappointed, whether that was him or his teammates or JJ talking about it. I just think all in all, this thing is humming pretty well. And I think that, yeah, there are going to be some bumps and bruises. There is going to be some, you know, maybe some minor to maybe not so minor hiccups along the way as everybody kind of relearns to play together. But I would rather deal with that than never get this dude back. Or one of the alternatives was the Lakers really struggle and we get that news cycle of him or Clutch leaking to Sean saying, like, I don't know. It's just, we didn't deal with that. We aren't dealing with that. We're dealing with a team that is excited to get LeBron James back. And frankly, traditional media has no idea how to handle that. Shaq. Shaq said some shit is the name of this segment. And you guys can blame Raj for this because he brought it to my attention. So, quote, a quote from Shaq here. "I kind of feel for Austin because he looks good. He's playing good. But as soon as LeBron comes back, he's going to be reverted back to standing in the corner," end quote. And my thing is, like, people like Shaq, people like Chuck, people like Stephen A. Smith, people like Kenny Smith, like these traditional media voices who get paid millions of dollars a year to talk about a sport, the bare fucking minimum that is asked of you is to watch basketball. That's it. Like, that's I guess technically their job is to entertain. And I think part of the problem that with where we've arrived in terms of NBA media or NBA coverage, and part of the reason that the NBA broke away from Turner and is kind of trying to, through Amazon and NBC, show ESPN the extent to which they have fucked this up too. Like, and that, by the way, that isn't everybody at ESPN. I'm honestly just kind of speaking to Stephen A. Smith in this case, because I just can't stand the way that he covers anything, really. But like the Turner crew and like ESPN, like bringing them back, we got the eulogy, man. Like we put them out to pasture. That was cool. They said their goodbyes and stuff like that. And then they come back to ESPN and we're immediately met with nonsense like this. While Amazon is refreshing, while NBC has been refreshing, we get this like real stark reminder of like, all right, this is what we had before and what I wasn't exactly missing when it was going away. And the thing is, and this is how I'll always say it, it's a very cynical approach that I think a lot of people take with the Lakers and specifically LeBron on the Lakers. And we saw this with Kobe on the Lakers too. But it's really kind of like the math on it's very simple. You talk about the Lakers, you get eyeballs. You put the Lakers purple and gold logo up there, you're going to get eyeballs. That's the tried and true method there. You talk negative about the Lakers, you have all kinds of people. You have 29 other fan bases out there who probably hate the Lakers because they ruin childhoods. So you talk nonsense, you talk stupid and preferably negative about the Lakers, you're going to draw the attention of those fan bases as well. And then you're also going to draw the attention of Lakers fans because, as we're covering on the show, we have to react to that stuff. It's in our nature. It's in every sports fan's nature. When you go at the team that somebody roots for and you say stupid stuff, you're going to be corrected. And thus the cycle continues. Well, in this case, Shaq says that Austin Reeves is going to go back to standing in the corner. Thing is, man, LeBron was calling pick and rolls with Austin before Luka got there. Like honestly, one of the things that kind of drove me crazy in last year's playoffs was that like, there were fewer Austin short roll pick and rolls or inverted pick and rolls where Austin gets put into that advantageous spot. You could have LeBron setting screens for Austin, which is a thing all the time. You know how there are NBA superstars that just flat out don't want to set screens. Right. Like Giannis kind of falls into this category to a certain extent. Kevin Durant doesn't like setting screens. He's more of a ghost screen type setter, and it's always for a pick and a pop. Anthony Davis sometimes got sick of setting screens and he wanted more kind of ISO touches or pick and pop type touches, or even you look at the screens that he did set, you're kind of weak, didn't really generate as much advantage as you would like to have there. Well, LeBron, when he sets a screen, he sets a screen. And for LeBron James to look at a player who has the ball and for him to be like, no, you have the ball here. Let me set the screen. Let's generate this advantage for us. Like, that's actually kind of cool when you consider like the cachet that you're working with here in terms of LeBron, probably the most cachet of anybody in the league. And he recognized very early on with Austin, there were reports of him recognizing incredibly early on in that, like that first, kind of players only camp that they ran with the Lakers. He recognized then, like, damn, this dude can play. And very quickly we found out that he trusted Austin to, I think it was Austin's like rookie year. He's playing against the Utah Jazz. And the Lakers ran like three or four either pick and rolls or horn sets or whatever, where they just kind of gave Austin the ball at the top of the key. And they said, and LeBron said, like, hey man, go to work. And for LeBron to arrive there, like, there are two other players that he's probably felt that way about, Dwayne Wade and Kyrie Irving. That's a pretty cool category of player to be considered amongst. And yet, like, for some reason, Shaq, a former Laker, who, again, your only job as a now ESPN analyst is watch basketball. Somehow missed that over the last few years, plural. What are we doing here? Like what? How can you miss this? How can you screw this up? And it's one thing for Chuck to do it. He's old. He wasn't a Laker. Like, also, Shaq has plenty of friends in the Lakers organization. He could ask any of them, hey, what's the deal here with this? And by the way, like, you watch football every Sunday. You have Tony Romo out there. I'm watching the Manning cast now, right? Eli Manning and Peyton Manning. And they do the work, right? They call up teams. They call up coaches. They have these interviews, so that when it comes time to call this game, they are as formed as ESPN and the NFL expects them to be. So it's not just some stupid sideshow. For some reason, it's just NBA analysts that screw this up. I don't know what it is. I truly don't understand. I think it's like everybody's trying to be like Chuck without understanding that, like, what makes Chuck special is his willingness to poke fun at himself. But, like, come on. You could pick up the phone. You could have one of these meetings and talk to the coaches and just ask around, hey, what do you anticipate here with LeBron coming back? What do you anticipate running here? We haven't gotten that from any of the NBA's partners on television. And that's quite a bummer. And so that very cynical cycle is probably going to continue. But the sooner that we kind of recognize it for what it is, the sooner we can point it out and hopefully ignore it. All right. Let's actually talk this out. Let's talk out like what this is actually going to look like and what we're all kind of looking forward to with LeBron coming back. We do have a question. Mark Cusey is asking how many minutes will he get? So JJ was asked this, said around 35 minutes or so a night whenever LeBron is fully up and ready to go. I don't think that'll be tonight. In tomorrow's game, I don't think it'll be that many minutes. But I would probably venture to guess that, like, he'll play between 25 and 30. LeBron has talked about how he is more comfortable playing longer minutes and kind of resting out there on the court. I do kind of wonder, because of how hard the Lakers need to play to even be decent defensively, if that's something that should continue. Not will or won't, but should. I don't necessarily love that approach of, like, LeBron playing 35 minutes and kind of walking around for 5 to 10 of them. But at the end of the day, also, like, if that's how he feels he's going to stay healthy, then that needs to be taken into account too. But how many minutes will he get? I'm guessing tomorrow, like 25-ish or so, maybe 30. And we'll kind of see where his legs are at. He also, like, he's considered questionable now because he wants to see how his body reacts to going through practice today. And then, you know, see how he feels waking up tomorrow. And then as we get closer to game time, we'll kind of see what that looks like. But yeah, for during those minutes, I don't know how much. So they're playing a Utah Jazz team that is playing pretty well, like compared to expectations, right? They lost Walker Kessler really early, but Lauri Markkanen's been really, really good. And Keontae George has also been really good for the Jazz so far this season. Ace Bailey is kind of coming along as well. I think he's already starting. He's a rookie, so his impact is kind of up and down. But overall, there's actually more to like with the Utah Jazz than you would think. So I don't think it'll be one of those games that the Lakers can just try shit in if they're interested in winning it. But I do think you have a spot here where the Lakers are going to run through some sets that they're looking to run. I think one question that the Lakers need answered is which big LeBron is going to be paired off with. So far this season, it's been Luka paired with Hayes and Ayton kind of more paired with Reeves. The other thing too that JJ Redick needs to figure out is the minutes allocation that allows two of the Lakers' three creators to be on the court as often as possible. Ideally, there are no minutes where it's just one of those guys, or if there are minutes that are like that, it'll just be Luka minutes. Thing I'm kind of interested in is what Jared Vanderbilt's role is going to be when LeBron comes back, because his minutes, not that quietly, have been diminishing. And, you know, if you're adding 35 minutes into this deal, not to mention, like, the Lakers are supposed to get Gabe Vincent potentially back tomorrow. We'll see what Rui looks like. There's a chance the Lakers might have all 14 NBA contract guys available tomorrow. And we'll see, like, what that rotation looks like. I don't think this is a spot where this is exactly what the rotation is going to look like moving forward, or anything close to what the finalized rotation might look like. But yeah, as far as like LeBron's minutes, I anticipate that he will set a few screens over the course of the game. I would probably say that he'll set a few screens for Austin, a few screens for Luka. I'm anticipating that Austin will set a few screens for LeBron and a few screens for Luka. One thing I'm really kind of curious about is, you know, if we get Luka setting screens for guys as well. I want to see how active LeBron is going to be offensively as a cutter and as a rim crasher, you know, for offensive rebounds. That would be an element of the offense that has been kind of lacking to this point. Defensively is kind of the thing to watch, because the Lakers have, when Smart isn't out there, they are kind of quiet defensively, especially with Gabe hurt the last few weeks. They can be kind of quiet, and LeBron is not. LeBron's constantly talking to guys defensively. He's constantly talking through pick and rolls or shell, you know, stuff and you know, rotations, and it is one of those things that, you know, getting LeBron back out there, allowing him to be kind of the defensive coach out on the court, that's something that the Lakers have really missed quite a bit. So, and then also, one of the things that I was really looking forward to coming into the season was not only the Lakers rebounding, which is about to get quite a bit better. Just think about it like this. You have, if the Lakers start Rui, which I'm, that's how I probably see this playing out. So if the Lakers start Rui with LeBron, with Austin, with Luka, with Ayton, at every position, Austin, very good rebounder for NBA point guard standards. Luka is like your shooting guard in this case. Excellent rebounder by NBA shooting guard standards. Rui, not very good as far as his own rebounding as a power forward, but slide him down to small forward and just tell him, hey, man, just box out. And he's very well equipped to handle that. LeBron, one of the best volume rebounders ever. And then you have DeAndre Ayton sitting there as well. And he is a very good volume rebounder too. So the Lakers, at least in their starting five, and then you're going to stagger those guys too. So I think that'll kind of bolster the rebounding beyond the bench. But the Lakers, they could potentially here be an excellent defensive rebounding team, which could ignite some transition opportunities. And like for Austin, all out of nowhere with LeBron coming back, yes, he's going to have to be a little bit more focused defensively as the point of attack defender, which is something he'll be able to do with LeBron in the lineup, helping with some of the offensive responsibilities. But also Austin getting out and leaking out from time to time from that point of attack spot where you close out. And if that closeout takes you past the guy that you're contesting that shot on, and you get a couple steps head start, you have Ayton rebounding, and then you have hit ahead passers like LeBron and Luka. The Lakers, I don't think they're going to run a ton. They do need to improve their pace overall, but That is an element of the offense that can improve. Rui has already gotten really good so far this year at like the run down the court and seal quickly type of look. Now, we know Luka can throw that pass. He's thrown that plenty this year. Austin has gotten better at throwing that pass. LeBron loves throwing that pass. He used to throw that to AD all the time. So I actually think that the Lakers, by way of getting better at rebounding, might actually get a little bit better in transition than they have been so far, which will in turn make their offense more efficient overall. And then, again, I think there are going to be some bumps and bruises early on, some cracked eggs as they figure out the omelet that is eventually going to be their offense with LeBron in the lineup. But I, you know, if they improve in transition and now add LeBron in the half court, that's how you arrive at the caliber of offense that the Lakers need to play to be considered the title contenders that they are hoping to be before we get to, you know, eventual roster tweaks and additions that will also help the Lakers along the way. So, yeah, LeBron coming back, maybe Gabe coming back. Like, it is truly exciting to that maybe, just maybe, we'll get the full rotation out there tomorrow. And if we do, we'll be right here in the lounge, or this is going to be the case no matter what. But after that game, I can't wait to talk about what we see right here in the lounge right after the game. Well, I guess right after I record my offside video. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into your guys' questions here. And, we have a super comment, which means I get to play this bad boy. Fuck Washington! All right, Brandon Omang writes, wonder who the ninth man is between Maxi, DK, and Vando, assuming everyone is healthy. Feels like DK will get DNPs. What would be your 9 to 10 man rotation? I think the Lakers are going to play 10 guys. That's the point of having three offensive engines who can stagger the way that LeBron and Luka and Austin can. That allows you to kind of extend the rotation a little bit. So you're starting five, again, guessing. I haven't called to double check on this, but I reported before the season that Rui would be the fifth starter. I haven't heard anything that would indicate otherwise. Rui has also played really well. So if Rui is healthy, I believe he'll be in the starting group with LeBron, with Austin, with Luka, and with Ayton. So there's five. Now your first guy off of the bench is going to be kind of interesting here. I kind of wonder if that would be smart. I think it'll be smart. And who he comes in for will be kind of interesting. I would guess at least tomorrow it'll probably be LeBron, just so that LeBron can kind of get acclimated and you know, get his sea legs underneath him. So that would leave you with a group of, like we just saw, a starting, or essentially a starting group of Marcus, Austin, Luka, Rui, and Ayton. Then your Ayton sub would be Jackson Hayes. That's seven guys so far. I think Gabe Vincent is somebody that JJ Redick is always going to find minutes for. So he's your eighth guy. And like you're saying, Brandon, 9 and 10 is where it gets kind of interesting and where the choices have to be made. I actually think Dalton will remain in the rotation ahead of Jared Vanderbilt. Vando is just a brutal watch, man. Like he kills you offensively. And it'd be one thing if he was a high floor, high ceiling defender. But the problem with Vando is that he's actually, because of the kinds of mistakes he regularly makes, and he's like a wide variety of mistakes that Vando makes, he's actually a low floor, high ceiling player, or defender. And he's just like a low floor, low ceiling offensive player. And so with all of that kind of taken into account, I actually think Dalton will remain in the rotation. And then from there, I think it's a real fight for minutes between Maxi and Vando. We know Luca and Maxi, you know, that's one of Luca's best friends. We know that JJ Redick likes Maxi and likes the idea of a stretch five. But on top of that, I think there are some lineups where the Lakers can go kind of jumbo, and Maxi allows you to do that a little bit. So I think there's a real chance that your 10th guy is actually Maxi Kleba. And then you kind of, you know, depending on foul trouble and stuff like that, then you're looking at Vando as your 11th guy. Bronny in there is like your 12th guy. Adu Thiro, while he's kind of ramping up, he'll be in that kind of 11, 12, 13 range as well. And who am I forgetting? This is all done off the top of the head. I'm probably forgetting somebody super obvious, and that'll make this really awkward. I've said 13. Who am I missing? Oh shit, Laravia. All right, so that does change things. So Laravia will be in there instead of Maxi. Maxi gets pushed down instead. So now you're looking at Maxi, Vando. Yeah, my bad, Alicia. I mean, look, that just kind of speaks to how poorly I think he's been shooting lately. But so Jake will be in there ahead of Dalton as your ninth guy. Dalton gets moved to 10th, Maxi 11, Vando 12, Bronny 13, Thiro 14. And then, you know, over the course of the season, we'll see what happens to it. But yeah, man, it's crazy. Jake from State Farm went from, yeah, should he start, to who am I forgetting? Jake, you got to pick it up, man. This is, you know, this is a tough time to go into a slump with 35 minutes being taken off of the rotation ladder. but yeah, I think that's probably how this probably goes. Oh, hold on. Wrong button. Oh, God. Awkward. Here we go. All right. Next question here comes from, let's see. The Optimist. I just thought of Cooper Flag as if Dalton and Vando had a fusion. He handles the ball quite a bit better than both of those guys. He actually does have a bit of a handle on it. I kind of see where you're going, though. He's significantly smarter than both of those players, which is really saying something that he's only 19 years old or whatever it is. But, or no, I think he's only 18 still. I think he turns 19 fairly soon. But yeah, that's a funny combo. Let's see. Rui's been bad defensively. Bashir writes, Rui's been bad defensively at his natural position at the four this season, and he's bad when you slot him down to the three. Is he just a lost cause on that end? To a certain extent, I would probably say so. The problem with like Rui is the kind of defender that you would like to kind of make up for a little bit elsewhere, but because he's playing on a team with Austin and with Luka and with LeBron and Ayton, really also for that matter, there is no like making up for Rui. And he is definitely not the kind of defender who's going to like step in and make up for somebody elsewhere. So that is where the kind of frustration lies. Again, I would like to eventually see the Lakers bring in a defender who pushes Rui to the bench. But yeah, it's just the reality of the situation. And also, again, as I always kind of talk about, it's very easy with a player like Rui to really always focus on what he isn't doing and what we would like to see Rui do. But the Lakers don't have the record that they have right now without his offensive production. He has been elite in terms of efficiency this year. And I would like to see the Lakers figure out a way to get his volume up to see if that efficiency can scale upward. But yeah, and frankly, that might be how the Lakers make up for some of his defensive inadequacies, right? LeBron steps into the starting group. Rui is even that much more open as a spot up shooter. He gets even that much better a initial matchup in you know, some of these offensive possessions, and thus becomes that much more impactful as the safety valve. Those are the kinds of things that I think I would like to see, you know, from Rui here. But I think to kind of get to the root of what you're asking, Bashir, I do think eventually the Lakers are going to have to find a defender who may not be at Rui's caliber of an offensive player, but is good enough defensively to where you're looking at a net positive impact by way of swapping those guys out. Not saying I want Rui to be part of that trade. I would prefer Rui to be a bench player, but we'll see if that's something that he's actually interested in and all that good stuff. All right. That is going to do it here, I believe, for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks for the questions there at the tail end of the show. Again, that's going to be, I think, part of the show here, just kind of moving forward, especially on solo shows. So make sure you guys are subscribed and we can have back and forths on a fairly regular basis on top of the mailbag that we have every week as well. So, yeah, have a great rest of your days. Make somebody else's. And here is hoping that tomorrow we will wake up to get news that LeBron James will be making his first appearance for the Lakers this season. Have a good one, everybody.